And now once we do come to the end of a week, we do like to set aside some time to take a look back and remind ourselves of how we got here. From the newsroom, we are joined now by Nick Palmer to get us through the weekly wrap. Morning, Nick.
Very good morning to you, Tess. Great to be here.
Monday. There's been so much going on in the last 48 hours or so that Monday feels like yonks ago.
Yeah, I have no idea what happened on Monday. I had to refer back on the notes to remember. We were still feeling the effects of the G20 summit in Buenos Aires the weekend. Donald Trump had made his positions clear in front of the fellow world leaders. He and Chinese President Xi Jinping they agreed to hold a ceasefire on increasing tariffs between the two nations, which brought some hope to easing the trade war, or possibly even beginning to end the trade war between the US and China, that's of course been affecting the rest of the world markets.
Yeah, I remember this because mostly I remember like Angela Merkel coming out with a cheat sheet on Scott Morrison was the whole thing.
Yes, yeah. Well, ScoMo was, let's not say he was the star of the show at the G20. I'm not sure if Angela Merkel would have been the only world leader to refer to that little cheat sheet, seeing as ScoMo's only been in for a couple of months or so.
Yeah, which one are you again? God, I think we're all asking ourselves the same question sometimes.
Yeah, we are, aren't we? We are. I think moving on to Tuesday now, because Monday is pretty dreary in general. Mm. So the brother of Test cricket star Usman Khawaja, he was arrested as part of an investigation into a notebook outlining plans to kill senior politicians, including former Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull and his then deputy Julie Bishop. It has, in days since, Arsalan Khawaja, brother of Usman, this was a love triangle situation.
Oh.
It was a bitter dispute over a girl that the two men had a disagreement on.
Okay.
And he had essentially framed his friend, who spent 4 weeks at a supermax prison in solitary confinement.
Oof.
For these charges. He'd essentially, it's being alleged that he essentially framed him to get back at him for some incident that happened with this woman that both had some sort of attraction to.
Wow, there's getting back at somebody and then there's sending them to solitary confinement for 4 weeks.
There is, yeah. Oof. Pretty heavy. So he might have to face the music there.
Yeah.
We'll wait and see what happens with that one. Also on Tuesday, Scott Morrison, he drafted one of the Liberal Party's most significant functional changes in decades, a leadership spill now needing 2/3 of party room support to be triggered. Of course, had those changes been implemented before the August spill against Malcolm Turnbull, he would have likely survived the motion that brought him down.
Yes. Didn't the Labour Party did basically the same thing a while back after Rudd Gillard Rudd, so maybe now we won't have, you know, bloody however many prime ministers in however many years. I've lost track of the numbers at this point.
Fingers crossed, but I'm not going to be too optimistic on that front.
Yes, no, knowing our politicians, they'll find a way.
They will indeed. And moving on to Wednesday now, Mick Fuller, New South Wales Police Commissioner Mick Fuller, he confirmed around mid-morning that Chris Dawson was arrested in relation to the 1982 murder of Lynette Dawson. And of course, The Teacher's Pet is one of the most popular podcasts globally. And this has been the subject of that podcast for a number of years now, and it's captivated audiences from around the world. And so a massive development in that case. And he, of course, yesterday was officially charged with that murder, so proceedings will now commence.
This is such an interesting one. I did listen to the podcast, and I was watching the press conference that they did yesterday on the situation, and I think a lot of people were expecting them to come out and say that they'd found her remains, they'd found the body, but they haven't. So it's going to be really interesting to see what sort of evidence that they've got now that they do have enough evidence to press charges.
Yeah, well, indeed. I think there's going to be some quite damning stuff about him, but of course it's a legal proceeding and we can't get too into it, but it'll be very interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, because, I mean, I imagine that they must have found something that makes them quite confident, because it's not impossible, but it's very difficult to prosecute without a body. So
that's right. And big props to the team of journalists that worked on the Australian's Teacher's Pet podcast, because they've had a massive role in uncovering evidence to charge him. And the power of journalism, hey, that's
absolutely
there you go.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Also on Wednesday, Theresa May's government was found in contempt of Parliament for refusing to release their legal advice on Brexit, which underlined the depth of opposition among MPs to her deal on leaving the European Union. So I think I was saying to you the other day, Tess, we weren't too sure who was in more chaos, Canberra or London, but... You know, I think I said London the other day, but after yesterday in Canberra, it could be a tie now.
Yeah, well, that's kind of not a race you really want to win, is it?
No, it's a race to the bottom, as they say.
Very much so.
And on to Thursday, religious schools will still have the right to discriminate against gay students into next year after the major parties hit a deadlock over proposed legal changes. And, of course, that wasn't the only parliamentary action, for want of a word, that happened on Thursday. The controversial encryption laws cleared the Senate late last night. And before that, in typical fashion, it seems, for 2018, it's been one of those years. The Morrison government extraordinarily shut down proceedings with a filibuster that helped the coalition avoid defeat, of course, on that legislation to get the kids off Nauru before Christmas.
And we are still seeing the fallout of that today, and rightly so.
Oh, yeah. It'll continue until Parliament sits again in February. And, both sides have been accusing each other of playing political games this whole week. And, I mean, when are they not? But
exactly.
In the past 24 hours, the mud throwing has just reached a new level of deplorability, I think. It's just everyone's sick of it. And it's Friday, and it's too early for all this parliamentary nonsense, but...
But here we are.
But here we are, Tess.
Yeah, I find it particularly sickening as well, because it's one thing to play politics, as you said, as they do constantly, but this is about kids on a detention camp being there for another few months over Christmas. Like, ugh.
Well, one of the most shocking things, one of the doctors that worked there said, you know, these young... 2-3-year-old kids come to Nauru, come to Manus Island as typical 2 or 3-year-old kids. They're inquisitive, they're cute, they're bright, they're asking questions. 3 or 4 years, the life has been sucked out of them.
Yeah.
There's not much going on at all. There's nothing left of them. They're, you know, 5-6-year-old kids talking about self-harm and, you know, severe depression. So...
A matter of months can make a massive difference in those situations.
Exactly. It's an absolute disgrace. And as Greens leader Richard Di Natale said last night, it's an absolute stain on the nation of Australia.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Thanks, Nick. That was cheery.
Thanks very much, Tess. Indeed it was. Can't wait for the weekend.
Yes, thanks for that. Nick Farmer with the weekly wrap. Yeah, taking a look back at the last 5 days or so, Monday does feel like eons away.